Say, Lord, give me eyes to see, ears to hear what your Spirit is speaking specifically to me. Amen? Anybody guess where we're going? 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We've been there now for quite a while. I don't know why we keep going back, but I'm going to listen to him, not to people, as you already know. And there was a few verses that we need to kind of touch on. But he said to go back to verse 7 so that we'll have an idea, a little bit of what he wants to pound home tonight. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. So we have a tendency to kind of believe sometimes that it's something about us, but it is not. It's about Him. We are hard-pressed on every side. How many have had pressure? Thank you. So we are hard-pressed on every side. So St. Paul is talking about what's happening in his day, but it's no different this day. Amen? But not crushed. Sometimes we feel crushed. Perplexed, meaning questioning, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. Verse 10, we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. I could go on there, but that's not where he wanted me to concentrate on tonight. Verse 11, for we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Well, now, you know, I said, ooh, that's dangerous, Lord. And so, I don't know any believers in the majority of the average charismatic Pentecostal type of church that talks about suffering.
Amen.
That's usually a non-acceptable subject. Yet, how many of you have at least one person that you're aware of or you yourself are suffering? Put your hand up. Oh, kind of neat, huh? Yeah. Well, let's take a good look at verse 11. For we who are alive are always being given over to death. What does that imply? Something needs to what? Die within us. Amen? And until it happens, the life of Christ is not going to be visible. For Jesus' sake. Well, sometimes we're not thinking about Jesus when we're going through a test. Yes or no?
Amen.
We're thinking about how ugly I feel right now, or the one I carry in my heart, and how I wanted them to be free, and they're not free. They're bound. But there's a purpose. It says so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. Well, you know, the first crisis that I had in this area after I had been in a charismatic relationship with the Lord, he began to show me that, you know, not all of that truth was the fullness of truth. And I was having a major issue because my dad was very ill. And instead of getting better, he was not getting better. He did have a reprieve and he did have a percentage of healing. But now I knew, because God was telling me, he's suffering, but I have a plan in it. Well, I didn't like it. Did not like it at all. So in case you forgot, these scriptures are made to help you to understand a little bit about why suffering is a part of our walk with him. Sometimes we suffer for him. Sometimes the suffering takes place in us, and it's us that's being changed. So there's a double-edged sword here. The first scripture is Acts 5:41. Acts 5:41. Say, the book of Acts is in the Bible. And it's calling me. Into a relationship. That's not always comfy. Hallelujah. The apostles left the Sanhedrin rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace for the name. Now think about that. Here they are, the apostles. They've got the commission to go out into all the world. But their first world is their own relationship with their leaders. Their church leaders. And they were suffering disgrace. So undoubtedly, if they were being disgraced, now they had a choice. They could either boo-hoo all the way home, or put a smile on their face like I was doing to the little girl tonight. And I says, you've got an answer to prayer. You should get happy right now. And the tears were just flowing twice as much. Because it's a stranger to them that came to the rescue. Family didn't care. Expectations were coming from one place, but the release and the grace came from somewhere else. And it took a humble pie, a big one, for that phone call to be made. So, the apostles, those are the sent out ones, left the Sanhedrin, rejoicing because they had been counted worthy of suffering disgrace. That takes your brain for a real Holy Ghost ride, doesn't it? All right. Next one's Romans 8:17. Romans 8:17. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. And there's an if. If indeed we share in his suffering. I don't remember that being preached from most altars. But is it in the Word? Is Romans part of your Bible? Gino used to say, don't tear out any corner. If indeed we share in his suffering, in order that we may also share in his glory. So it's conditional. Suffering is part of our future, as well as it's been a part of our past. But there's a purpose for it. And if we don't see the purpose, we get what?
Discouraged.
Yeah. How many know you hit the skids? No fun. Okay? So when you turn it around and you say, okay, Lord, I can feel the pressure. I know I'm an heir, but boy, do I really need to change this heart of mine right now because I'm having trouble. And that was part of my conversation with somebody this week. I said, you're broken. The only way I know to fly above it is by giving thanks for whatever's going on and to give thanks for those people that are mistreating you right now and purpose to give thanks. And you'll climb higher. You'll fly like an eagle. That was my quote. Hebrews 11:25. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasure of sin for a short time. I'll leave that one right there because it's too dangerous. If I go there, we're all in trouble. James 5:10. Brothers, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As an example of patience in the face of suffering. You know, if you look at how Joseph was treated, Moses was treated, I mean, he was put in a river when he was just a baby. Who had a hold of the rudder? Angels of the Lord. His sister had an eye, keeping an eye on what was going on. He had no clue. He was just a baby. James 5:10. Patience in the face of suffering. All the prophets suffered, every one of them. They got rejected and some of them got killed. Okay? 1 Peter 2:20. 1 Peter 2:20 is the scripture that the Lord gave me when I was struggling with my dad. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and you endure it, this is commendable before God. That takes your head for a ride and your brains for a ride. Why is there such an amount of suffering going on in my body? Well, because God is still in the control room in that midst. 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. And God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you. Oh, can you hold on to that one? How many need restoration? Thank you. If you haven't got a Bible, just close your eyes and repeat after me. Say, God, the God of all grace,
who called me
to his eternal glory
in Christ
or in the anointing after I have suffered a little while,
will himself restore me
and make me strong,
firm,
and steadfast. Hallelujah. That's quite a promise, isn't it? Try it on again. 1 Peter 5:10. 1 Peter 5:10. I need to remember it, Lord. Because after I've suffered a little while, you will make me what I need to become. Amen? Matthew 5:11. Matthew 5:11. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Ooh. Some people are talking behind your back already.
Amen.
And while they're talking about you, somebody else gets a break.
Amen.
Amen? Okay. Matthew 10:22. All men will hate you because of me. Those are Jesus' words, the red letter edition, okay? Got it? All men will hate you because of me. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. So there's salvation at the end. But sometimes we want salvation halfway through.
Amen?
Amen. All right. So I believe these gifts are to make you aware that when you're really hurting deep, not to despair, because the Lord has already been there. Matthew 10:39. Now again, our Savior is talking about, you know, when you have all kinds of problems, whoever finds his life will lose it. And whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Now that's a real tricky proverb. In other words, how many of you had a chart in your mind as to what was going to happen down the next 10 years, 5 years, 4 years, 2 months?
Tomorrow.
It's called expectations. I remember the Holy Spirit saying to me, I needed to lay them on the altar one time. And I didn't want to do it. I had certain things that I was expecting that should have been able to be manifesting according to this box that I have on top of my shoulders. Anybody got a box on top of their shoulders? It's kind of stubborn. Sometimes it could be called granite. But God kept chipping away and softening it up. Matthew 19:29. That might be a helping victory here. Everyone who has left houses, with an S, brothers or sisters or fathers or mothers or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will inherit eternal life. I mean, yeah, this is a great word, but when you're losing it all, it's not such a great word.
Amen.
Because when you're feeling like you've been let down and your emotions are kicking in and they're giving you a screaming session, none of you have ever had that. But it happens. And your emotions will go up and down, all over the place. God is saying through his Holy Spirit, everyone, he doesn't exclude anybody who has left houses or brothers or sisters, etc., will receive 100 times as much. Now, Acts 9:16. Acts 9:16. Here, this is the discussion with the prophet of the Lord that's visiting Damascus. And Paul is there. Of course, his name is Saul at the time. But this is a word of encouragement for Saul. He's totally blind. He needs to be led around. He hasn't been able to function because he's met the Lord. And the prophetic word over him is, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. How many of you would like to receive Paul's commission as an apostle? The rubber meets the road when you figure, he says, he will have to suffer much. For whose name?
Jesus.
I'm going to give you one more little piece of the puzzle here. The name of the Lord Jesus Christ is also his nature. How long did it take for Paul to understand the Lord's nature? Many, many years in the desert, waiting upon the Lord, resting before the Lord, waiting for instructions before he could go out. And when he did go out and he met with Peter, there was not exactly peaches and cream. You're the guy that actually caused some of our friends to be killed and put in jail. How would you have felt just walking up towards Peter's house? We talked about Matthew the other night. And how his whole family must have reacted. Think about Paul's family. We know for sure that some of them were in high places. We know of his nephew actually went and whispered to make sure that Paul would be taken out before the Romans, you know, could protect him. Somebody had to give the word to the king, and they did. And he was protected. So, you know, sometimes we think it's going to be great peaches and cream to serve the Lord. But I've got news for you. Paul is not a very good example of one that had it sweet and peaches every day. He went without food. They beat him up. They threw him over the fence. They almost killed him. How many times? They left him for dead. We're not sure if he was resurrected, but it's a possibility. If they left him for dead, he couldn't have much life left in him. Right or wrong? Okay. First Corinthians 4:10. St. Paul again. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, and we are dishonored. Why? Why would he make such a comment? Because there were false prophets and false churches at that day, no different than there is today.
Amen.
There are false prophets out there, and most people don't even take the time to discern who's speaking through these mouths. You've got to be careful when you listen. And it says in the last days there will be false prophets. Why? Because they're false. Their purpose is to take care of themselves. Their purpose is to satisfy me, myself, and I. They're out for finances and honor in high places, and they will sit at the table with the high mucky mucks. That may not be where God puts you or where he puts me. But I can guarantee you this. The one who's being served is not me. It's the Lord. And when you serve him, there is a joy that comes in so much deeper than that other honor that you can sit at head tables, etc. But it means almost nothing. In fact, I'd rather be sitting in the back. 2 Corinthians 4:11. It's the last one. I'm sorry. Did I say? Yes, 11. 2 Corinthians 4:11. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. That's the one we just quoted from. That's right back. So you see, there's treasures in that first, 2 Corinthians 4. Many treasures. Again, I want you to try it on for size, and I want you to close your eyes right now. Say, we are alive. And are always being given. Over to death. For Jesus' sake. So that his life may be revealed in my mortal body. So I don't have to wait for an eternal body. He's ready to do something now. I have a tag on me. It says ambassador for Christ. An ambassador for Jesus. My light is on. It may not be bright sometimes, but it's shining in the darkness. And it irritates the darkness. Amen.